Today's daf is Daf Dalu. We start from the next Mishnah. So Metziat Beno Ubito Haktanid. So if a young child finds something, the Avador, the Shivcha to Aknanim, or is even Shivcha Knaani importantly, so non-Jewish maidservant or servant, Metziat Ishtol, or his wife finds something, Harei Elu Shelo, they belong to him. Now, we'll have to explain the differences here, but we will get to when we get to the Gemara. In terms of, there's different rationales behind each case. Mitzio b'no b'toha gdolim, if you're talking about his adult children, b'avdo v'shivchato ivrim, or his servant who is like a Jewish servant, or mitziat ishto shegirsha, or wife he divorced, afal pi shelo natan ketubah, even if he hasn't given her ketubah yet, nonetheless, they're independent individuals where they find something, harei elu shelhem. Okay, this is what to discuss here. Because, let's have a look. So the Gemara now first says, Metziat b'no b'toha ketanim. So Amar of Yochanan, that's she'enu tfulim la'avihem. That's provided that they are not what's called somech al shulchan avihem, meaning they're not dependent on the father, like people living at home. Meaning, b'no b'toha, when do we say b'no b'toha gdolim metziat b'shalhem? That's when they're living on their own, they're pretty independent. However, if they're still living at home, they're meaning they're dependent on their parents for food or some support, actually, we hope, but they're supported by the father, then we say the Metziat will go to the father. Now, why is that? Now, if you remember, we learned this back in Masechta Peah. In Masechta Peah, Reb Chaim said that the reason is because he says, Minastam, I think it's also opinion of the Gra, if I'm not mistaken, Minastam, he wants to get it for his father, right? He's at home and he finds something and it's for the household, because it's supported by the father. That's like the understanding is like Minastam, that's the case. And therefore, it's of the opinion that if this is very important because this relates to the opinion of Reish Lakish, we've got a machloket here, that if you can zoche something from yourself, if I can pick it up and make it mine, then I can pick something up from Hefker and be zoche for somebody else. It's that point that Reish Lakish is arguing about. Reish Lakish says, Ein adam zoche lechavro. If I pick up something that's lost, a picked item, I cannot be zoche to somebody else. And we saw a hint of this discussion, if you like, when we were in like a couple of daf ago. Okay? Fine. So that's the debate. Now it's interesting because other ways you could explain this. I think that if I'm not mistaken, I think the Pnei Moshe says no. The reason why it's some kind of mishum from Eva, but the concept of Eva or animosity we'll discuss because that relates to another opinion. But let's just stay with like the way we learned in the past. Okay, and that's I think also how the Maharal Fulda explains it as well. Correct. In other words, fine. Now the Gemara now says Amar Rav Hila, Lo Demar Rav Shimon. Achen, Ella de Kashile. It's not the Rabbi Shimon Rishmos actually said this explicitly. Ella de Kashile, because it had a Kasha al Hada de Tani Reboshaya. Because rather, we can be mashma his position of Ein Adam Zochel Chavro from this Kashi he had in Reboshaya. Why? Because Reboshaya says, Ha Asocher Tapoel, Lasod B'chol Melacha, if someone hires a worker to work for him, to any manner of work, like the day, b'chol anything he finds belongs to the balabait. So amresh lakish adam rabo. So the simple understanding of this, I think, so we learned in the past, is that one second, if you hired someone to work for you and he finds something worth a big amount, a large sum of money, why should it, according to Reish Lakish, why should it go to the employer? He in the middle of the day, he can say, thank you, I'm checking out, I've had enough for the day. You don't have to pay me for the rest of the day, and therefore it can be his. So that's a simple maybe way of understanding it. However, how do we mashma from this situation, like the position of Reish Lakish, Ein Adam Zocheh Lechavro Metziah? So for this, I want to show you that the Maharal Fulda. He says, Heyach tia mitzah l'rabo, min harei ein yado ki yad rabo. So importantly, there's a difference in a worker, even an Eved Ivri, we'll get to that in a moment, and like an Eved Kenani. Someone's Eved Kenani is his property, yado ki yad rabo, whatever he requires is considered like the owner acquired it. Okay, of an Eved Kenani. However, a worker is not that case. Ein yado ki yad rabo, he's an independent person. Umikan muchak tesfirlei ein adam zocheh. Why? Deim lo ken, my kashle. What's even the question? Halo adam zocheh lechavro metziah. In other words, what he's saying is why? Forget the rationale I provided that he could check out of work at any time. What we're saying here is his kashle was according to Rabbi Shaya. I've got someone who's a worker. Anything he finds belongs to his employer. Reish Lakish is saying, one second, he's an independent person. Yado is not kiyad, the employer. Therefore, it is impossible, this is his kasha, since he's independent, because, again, the rationale, why is he independent? Because just to use a lashon again, because yeshlo bo reshut lachzor, why should, how, not why, how can his mitzvah be for his rab? That's the way he explains it. Because if you pick something up for somebody else, you find a mitzvah, it doesn't work according to Rish Lakish. It's not, doesn't belong to the person you're picking it up for. I'll just read it again in Rav Fulda so it's clear. The imken my kashali. Hello, Adam zocheh lechavro. Because I've employed you, in other words, if you say that I can pick up something for somebody else, when I find something and I pick it up, it belongs to them, then what's it in the kasher Rish Lakish? You've employed for work to do all activity, and once he picks it up, he's picking up for owner, it belongs to the, not the owner, for the employer. Elavade, it must be the spherically ain adam zocheh. It must be that means of acquisition doesn't apply. Imlo mikoch, unless it was like an eved, which we say an eved knani, we say eved like the yad eved ki yad rabo. The kasher b'hiyah, and here we can't say eved of the, so the yad of the employee is the yad of the employer, because he can check out any time. Hari yachol lachzor, okay. Which is again another interesting way he's bringing out. In other words, we can see from this case the fact that Rish Lakish even have a difficulty is how can what an employer finds belong to the, sorry, employee belong to the employer. It's impossible. He's independent, so therefore ein yadok yad ba'al, not ba'al, the employer. And therefore, and but the, his kashrut is built on the fact that he can't, and there's no mechanism in which we can transfer the ownership of this metziah to the adon immediately when he picks it up, because ain adam zocher metziah ain adam zocher lechaveru metziah. Okay, that's how we're mashme his position from this, because if he could, it wouldn't be in kasher. If he could, what's the big deal? He's told it all manner of activities. Picked it up, belongs to the owner, big deal. Okay, so that's, if you like, the important debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, whether once again, in the case of Metziah, someone finds something and was, I want to pick this up for so and so, whether we that is transfers to him. And if you remember, the reason why I brought this up in Masechta Peah, because you talked about can somebody zocher peah for somebody else, right? That's how it came up in that discussion. Rabbi Yochanan said that if they're both aniyim, so if the person who's trying to pick it up is an ani, then you can, because once again, if I can zocher for myself, I can zocher for somebody else. And Rish Lakish says, no, you cannot do that. Okay, fine. Now again, we're talking about zocher for hefker. You can always do it. This is not talking about zachin. Zachin, it could be a different situation. Zachin is like, can you acquire this for somebody else? Like, and there's a makne, there's a kone. Here it's different. It's a metziah, something from a hefker. And that's kind of what I think. That's the difference in the sugya from normal zachin that I think we've discussed in the past as well. Okay, the Gemara asks now. Ma bein avdo v'shivchato evrim lado shivcha knanim. What difference is it between an eved v'shivcha ivri and eved v'shivcha knani? Now, to appreciate this question, again, if we're going now, I'll just show you the Marfulda. Sorry, it says ve'in lakshok. Don't ask. Obviously, there's a difference in eved knani and an eved ivri. Diyad eved ki yad rabol, because if we said eved knani, his yad is like the yad of his owner, and umashkana eved kana rabol, and that's not the case for an eved ivri. Now, but in other words, don't say that's the obvious answer, because again, now we're explaining like Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan has the kim this real Adam zochel of chromatzia to ein chiluk b'nehem shari tavreot fulim l'shulchan rabban. In this situation, since it's fulim l'shulchan rabban, meaning they're dependent, both the Eved Ivri and Eved Kanani, even if you say as an independent yard, since in his, if you like, sorry, again, according to Rabbi Yochanan, if I pick something up for somebody else, it belongs to the other person, according to Rabbi Yochanan. The Rabbi Yochanan, Resh Lakish. So therefore, what difference does it make is the Eved Kanani, Eved Ivri? I don't need his yad to be the yad of the Adon in order to affect the ownership zchiyah to the Adon. Simply, I'm engaged in work, or the Eved Ivri is engaged in work. If you pick something up, obviously it belongs, if you find something, it belongs to, and he's been engaged, if you like, to do all these activities. So it belongs to the Adon. What's it like? What difference is it between them? So the Gemara explains there's still a big difference between them. What's the difference between them? And that is, it says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Avdo v'shivto ivrim ho'il v'ein rashay lishlomi melachto, mitziato la'atzmo. He says there's a difference. An Eved Ivri, if in that case of an Eved Ivri, if you remember once again, is somebody that's like, either he sold himself off because he's poor, or he stole something and he can't pay it back. Okay, when he becomes an Eved Ivri to another Jew, you can't make him do work that is not able to, that didn't pass him liable to. You cannot mashaneh from his work. Meaning, let's say he was I don't know, manual labor or something, you cannot say, okay, now you're my evet, I want you to retrain in some other craft. I want you to be a weaver or something like that. That's one of the dinim and evet ivri. Okay? Evet knani, you can instruct into whatever you want. Time for you to train up in such and do whatever. So therefore, what's interesting, since ein roshon lishon therefore matziad. So therefore, ein roshon lishon a Gemara Fulda says, v'arei zek malacha. Therefore, when he finds something now, it's like a malacha acheret, a different activity. And since you can, if you like, slice and dice activities by an evet ivri, we can say that when he found this item, it's not an activity he was doing for the Adon anymore. And that's why metziato shelo, that's why it belongs to him. Okay? If it wasn't the case, then we're saying, no, you have to do everything your Adon said. And now when you're doing this, you're finding metzio, finding for the Adon. But because in evet ivri you can ain mishlan milachto, you cannot say you have to do everything that I'm instructing you to do. Only the things that, if you like, ra'uy for him, finding a metziah seems to be, it's like something that could be an independent activity, and therefore metziah shalom. Okay, he can acquire it for himself. But again, evet ivri, but okay, evet knan is a different situation altogether, because evet knan is, we've explained, yad okay, adon, and forget it. It's a whole different, whatever he picks up is a belongs to his adon. Now the Gemara says. So let's go back again. Amri Yochan Avdav Shiva Ivri Mo'il Va'in Rashai Leshenot Mi'achto Metziato La'atzmo Avdav Shiva Dekanan Mo'il V'Rashai Leshenot Mi'achto Metzol L'Rabban. Now Mira says, one second. Hey Tivun, what about? Hare Ishto, what about his wife? We said in the Mishnah, if the wife finds something, who does it belong to, goes to the husband. In Ishto as well, She'in Rashai Leshenot Mi'achto. Also, there are similar terms, if you like, of what, you know, there's certain things a woman has to do in the house, but in Rashai Leshenot Mi'achto, you can't instructed to do anything you like. Nonetheless, Metziah belongs to him. So how is this different? We said in Eved Ivri Metziah Shelo. We said, but Isha goes to the Baal. The Tanin Taman, it says, Kofa lasot betzemer, you can instruct her to do some work, for example, work in Tzva. You cannot instruct her to do, you know, there's limits in terms of what you can instruct the wife to do in terms of making parnasa. So Amar Rav Bar Minav Rav As Yasa B'Shem Rav Yochanan Tam Acher B'Isha. In other words, till now we've been saying is, why is it that if someone, if like if a metziah of either Bno B'Tok Ktanim or Evet Knani belongs to the Adon, well, Yadom Ki Yad Baal or Yadom Ki Aviv. What about if it's Adat Sumach Shulchan Aviv? No, because he is Zocher for the purpose of the, for the when they're Sumach Shulchan Aviv, completely dependent, they were, if you like, Zocher for them. But we said when Evet Ivri, since you can look at the activity of finding being something independent, and so for Isha, you should say the same thing. So Metziah should also be Shelah. But the Gemara says, no, put aside all those technicalities. There's another consideration when you come to an Isha that doesn't apply elsewhere, that we say nonetheless overrides all this and said therefore should go to the husband. What is that consideration? Matam, acher v'isha. Rav Chagai says mishnei b'pnei katata, all the way you express it is all mishum eva. Meaning, if the husband is working to support his wife and providing her food and drink and all clothing, the whole works and all the obligations of the ketubah and some, and then she goes and finds something of a great value and keeps it for herself, he might feel, he says, I'm breaking my back doing these things, and now you've got all this money. Like, we don't want it to create tension in the household. That's mipnei eva. So therefore we say that we don't want, we therefore it's just safer just to keep the finances in one place, if you like, and even if she finds it, it goes to the husband, and it continues that way. That's one way of explaining it. It could create problems. However, Rabbi Yossi says, I've got a different reason. Rabbi Yossi Amar, he says, Shelot mavrech. He says something very different. He says, not because of animosity within it. Technically, you think about it, but there's no animosity. She finds something fantastic. You say, great, you found something, it's yours. However, the concern is differently. She might, what's called mavrachat nechasim, she might be skimming off the property, off the house, buying stuff for himself, and say, oh, look what I found on the way back from the market today. Isn't it wonderful? What a metziah. That's what we're concerned about. You know, she could have an eye towards divorce. She could try and be skimming from the funds. I've no idea. But in other words, we're concerned that she might actually use that as a ploy to start extracting funds. So the Gemara says, one second. Hey, Tivun Ba'edim, what if she has witnesses to say, oh, We saw her, what a metzia. We were walking home with her, and she found this fantastic thing. It fell off the back, this back of a truck, and the truck drove away. We couldn't get a number plate, whatever it is, all the dinim of metzia that were allowed to be hers. So the Gemara says, then what would you say in that situation? Why should you keep it? Says, no, lo asruzel mitmezeh. You're right. Technically, in that situation, it wouldn't be a concern. But we will ask that case, mishum that case, meaning we say, okay, all metzias, in order for this gzera, if you like, to work, we say it's not good. Okay, so in any event, it seems to be really technically the mitzvah isha really should be hers, but there seems to be some extra consideration. Let's call it mishum shalom bayit or financial security, whatever you want to say, that seems to say that's why it should go to the husband. Let's continue. The Gemara says, mitzvah ishto shigirsha. Afal pish natna laktuba. So again, lo natna laktuba, sorry, that if he divorces his wife, then she can already, if you like, if you find a metziah, it's hers, even if he hasn't given a ketubah yet. So Rabbi Yosna says, b'shem Rabacha, Adam shegireshet ishto, someone, a man divorces his wife, v'lo natan la ketubah, hasn't given a ketubah yet, I mean the payout, chay b'mizanotei, he still has to support her, ad shiten la prut acharon, until he's paid every last cent. So Amar Rabbi Yosna, manit Amar Kam, you see that's exactly indeed the case. Because metziah ishto shegirsha, afal pish lo natan ketubah, hari shila. I mean, the fact that Mishnah even had to express this case means that despite the fact he's divorced and he didn't give a ketubah, why do you have to teach that case? Because you might think that since he's still supporting her, his obligation to still keep supporting her, then maybe the metziah should still go to the husband despite the fact they're divorced. Nonetheless, again, Amar Rabbi Yishua, Shlo Tomar Ho'il, this is basically what the Gemara is saying, Ho'il v'chay v'nozeh ad shiten l'prut achron, maybe t'yem b'tzeh shelo. L'fub ken tzarech mandir of Mishnah teach us, because again, what really was underpinning this whole gzeira of saying that all of anything she finds goes to the husband? It's mishum ketata, mishum eva, or mishum all these other considerations. And if he's already divorcing her, or you're already divorced, or we're just waiting to pay out the ketubah, you're not going to have those considerations anymore. So that's why all metziata shela. Yafe. Let's continue. Amar Rabbi Yishaya. Oh, sorry. Next mishnah is halacha vav. Matza shtar chov. Im yesh bo achriyot nechasim lo yachzir. If someone finds a loan document, if there is a achrut nechasim is meaning there's a lien on property on that loan document. And if the borrower couldn't pay it back, the creditor can come and extract it from his land. You should not return it. Now, we will at Mishnayos. The reason is even if both parties agree that the debt hasn't been paid off, we're concerned that there might be some sort of what's called a scheme going on between them. Because what might happen is they might say, yeah, it may have been paid back. But the borrower would say, it makes a deal with the creditor and says, look, give it to me. I know you've got no money, but now they'll be able to extract lands from people you sold your land to. And then he'll try and do it. And that's why we say, if there's achrut nechasim, let's not do it. So if there's no achrut nechasim, yachsim b'nei she'ein beitim nifreim mehem. Now, the simple understanding, based on the way we learned Mishnahs, like I'm sure you learned Mishnahs, is if there's no achrut nechasim, there's no concern. So you can return, if both parties agree to that the money hasn't been paid back. That's the Rabbi Meir. Chachamim says, benkach lo yachsim b'nei beitim nifreim mehem. Okay, so in other words, there would still be, if you like, paid from them. Now, what we'll see exactly what this means according to the Yerushalmi's understanding, even though I've sort of injected some Mefarshei Mishnah in the Mishnah. So the Gemara now says, Matzah Shtar Chov, Tani B'Shem Rebbe Meir. Now, there's a Gilsa change really based on the Mara Fulda here. It says that according to Tani B'Shem Rebbe Meir, Shtar She'en Bo Achrayut Nechasim, Eina Gova Men Nechasim B'nei Chorim. You saw what I did there, that I changed it, right? That again, a shtar, a contract that doesn't have arachut nechasim, that has no lien or land in it, you can't even collect from nechasim b'nei chorim, meaning the contract is null and void. It's an invalid document. Okay, so that's a different now understanding in our Mishnah than I explained before. Why is it? What does it mean? Mibnei she'ein beitin nifreim mehem? We're not talking about a situation necessarily where both parties agree or don't agree. It's just the reason why you can return it back is because this document is completely it's worthless. You can't do anything with it. So therefore, you can return it. The Gemara then says, well, Adat Red Meir, Lezer Davaru Machzir, why are you returning this document if you can't do anything with it? So the answer is no, because a parchment, they had use for parchment. Latsura Pitzluchito. Because it's a bit like, you know, you get these country jams and they put this little cloth over the top of it and rubber band over it to cover it like a makeshift lid. Right, so this is what they used to do over there, little flasks. They used to get some parchment and put it over the top and, you know, put a band, I'm not sure, rubber band, but something around it. And that's, in other words, there was use for the material. So that's why Rabbi Meir says, yeah, sure, you can return it because there's no, it can have no legal force, but there's a material value, albeit very minimal. So yeah, you can return it. So that's how you, that's effectively how the Bavlis, that's Shmuel's understanding, if you like, of the Mishnah, different the way we explain it. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Rav Amar Yorish Kemishu Ubad, meaning a Yorish is like Nechasim Ushubadim. Now this Rav and Shmuel, these two statements we saw previously as well. In Bava, where was it? Bava Kama, yeah, it was Bava Kama. Again, we're mentioning both, but earlier in this context, we're really interested in Shmuel. Again, we brought them last time, both of them, and then we did something with it as well differently. But let's have a look through it. Now, the C says someone who's an heir, he's like Nechasim, just as a loan that wasn't a contractual loan, it was a loan, a verbal loan with witnesses that you can't collect, take from Nechasim, also you can't, that you can't collect from Yorushim. Okay, Shmuel Amar, the ikni enu gavah. So let's explain what this means. The ikni, if you remember, this the way we explained it back in Bava Kamma, and actually the Otzfar brings Amar Fulda in here, sort of quotes what he says there. It says the case is where he says, look, no, okay, a normal loan or something you can collect with nechasim any property that I own now, even if I sell it, you can collect it from. If I can't pay back. What he's saying is even any future property, what he tried to write in the contracts, even any future property that I purchase will also, there'll be, you can have a lien on that. And what Shmuel says, but that's only if that land, that future land is still in his possession. However, if that future land is sold, then there's no lien on that. That's the position of Shmuel. Okay? But the important thing to ask, if you like, have a kasha on, if you like, Rabbi Meir now, is that it seems to be if it still is in his possession, that future land, you can collect it. You can collect it. Gova. So Gemara says, Hachatamar gova v'hachatamar enu. What's hachatamar gova? In other words, this is the Shmuel parech, lefigirsa shelo. We said before that if the contract doesn't have a lien, it can't go with him. It has no meaning whatsoever, and even Bnei Chori cannot collect. This future t'nai, if you're putting in this contract, if you realize, it's only for land that's Bnei Chori that's still, if you like, in his possession, and not land that's sold on. So, but if you can't collect from the land if once it was sold, then according to Rabbi, you can't collect even from the land that's when it's in the possession. So there seems to be a contradiction in Shmuel's understanding of Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah and Shmuel, if you like, his position when it comes to this condition. So Gemara says, "Lo dami mishemeshia bed miktzat kol ikar." Okay, which means that you cannot, if you like, compare the two. Why? Because in this case, it's not that. If you can't get Mushubadim, you can't get from Bnei Chorin. Because in this situation, there was in the case of Shmuel saying that I'm also giving you a lien on future land, it was still a valid document because there were a lien on all existing land. So the document was a valid document. But the case in the Mishnah is where if you can't govam at all, zero, then it's invalid document. So again, there's two ways, if you like, to understand what's going on. Is it because if I can't get Meshuggah, I can't get from Bnei Chorim, it's almost like they have to go hand in hand? Or is it, which, if that was the case, then you would have a Kashrut Shmuel, or no? The whole issue of Rabbi Meir is that it's partial to an invalid document if there's no lien on land. And because there's no lien on land, because it's a partial document, that's why you can't collect from Bnei Chorim. Whereas this new case of Shmuel, where he's saying, it was a complete valid document. It could go badin. It was just he added his extra clause to say even future land. And that you can split between. There's no issue of splitting Bnei Chor and Bnei Chor, Bnei as long as the document itself is a valid document. There has to be some lien on the land, and that's exactly why it's on a kasher on Shmuel. All right, we'll stop here because it takes us, even though yes, I know it's a line early, but because it continues to the next piece. All right, seven. If I go too long, then tomorrow's talk will even be shorter. Okay, but seven. Cult of the Shabbos.